Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the Upstate. It is pizza night for you. Willie P and Diesel from Frankie's New York Pizza, 101B The Parkway in Greenville. Right across from the Dunkin' Donuts, caddy corner from Top Golf off 85 and Pelham Road, and happy to bring you Straight Up with Sturge on a Tuesday here on ESPN Upstate. Fantastic pizza deals here for you. We just saw one lady walk out of here with a two pizza deal, two 16-inch pizzas, $20. Best deal in the Upstate for pizza.
That's a lot of pie.
864-288-4200. Chance for you to get a part of that. Also, the one 16-inch cheese pizza, one order of wings for $16. Can't beat that either if you want a little variety as your slice of life. Also, some great lunch specials to talk about as well that Diesel will bring to you, of course, throughout the program. And we'll bring you some more Clemson and South Carolina sports talk and also some of the other things involving the Braves tonight. The Braves are part of their three-game series beginning with the Mets tonight in Atlanta. Hot night tonight in Atlanta, and of course, hot night across the Southeast. There is a gentleman in the college football world who played the game of Florida or Ohio completely wrong. We'll tell you about that a little bit later on in the hour, and also give you a little bit of what was left on the cutting room floor when we continue. And also, Colin Taylor, about 15 minutes from now, man from Gamecock Central on what is a CNC Tuesday, will give us his latest on what the Gamecocks have done through 10 practices as they had their first scrimmage of fall camp yesterday. You can call us 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. Also, 71307 is the text line. We had some texts earlier on our big discussion involving the pay-for-play and whether it's ruining college football or not. Clay says, boo-hoo, football player can't take his girlfriend on a date. They kill it on campus. Girlfriend plays tab. Clay, I don't think it works that way, pal. It doesn't work that way.
I don't know if you know, but being the girlfriend of a football player pays even less than being a football player.
Right? 864 texter goes, I just want my darn NCAA football game back. I think we all want that. You know, it's funny, in Madden this year, they put I believe it was four or five different teams in the football game as college teams in the career mode, where you can basically play through the college football playoff as a created player with a particular football team. Though, again, I don't know if the names and likenesses of actual players were used in that regard, but, again, it's just a little tease. I venture to say that at their peak, the NCAA game was a lot better than the Madden, because I think the NCAA game was a lot easier on the game interface, because Madden, it became a lot harder to actually have success when it came to high-end players, when it came to that perspective.
The last one I bought, and I'm not a huge gamer, but the last one that I bought was, I believe it was NCAA 2007.
Yes.
And it had Kirk Herbstreit doing the play-by-play.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fantastic.
Loved that game.
It was great. I got into Madden. It just got so complex. I'm like,
Madden got really bad when they started using that little the little tree or the little spotlight for the quarterback. That was when they lost me. It just X for one receiver, Y for another receiver, and circle for another. That's all it needs to really be. It got way too complicated in a hurry, and no darn Fortnite for me either. We talked earlier about Antonio Brown and Dak Prescott. We asked you who amongst the two most prominent NFL players in the news this week was more absurd. Those of you who are voting in our poll on ESPN Upstate's Twitter, that is at ESPN Upstate, 52% of you who basically were part of that said Dak Prescott, 48% Antonio Brown. Dak, of course, allegedly seeking $40 million, holding out after being offered $30 million. And Antonio Brown allegedly holding out for his issue involving his helmet that he couldn't use. Of course, AB was back at practice today. Again, 52% said Dak, 48% said Antonio Brown. It's funny how it's funny how that was closer than I thought it was going to be, honestly.
I don't understand that. I mean, I think AB is way
right,
way more absurd.
Right?
I mean, threatening to retire over not being able to wear a helmet that he likes.
Very, very dumb.
Come on.
Exactly. So, South Carolina was on the practice field yesterday. They practiced with a scrimmage. Again, we'll get to Colin Taylor from Gamecock Central about 30 minutes from now to talk about that. Clemson had a scrimmage on Saturday and then a controlled scrimmage on Tuesday after practicing yesterday at Jervy Meadows. So a lot of different scenarios working now for Clemson, who comes closer and closer to its first contest against Georgia Tech 2 weeks and 2 days from today. Dabo Swinney, surveyed on the state of his team, says his defense needs to talk about playing a little bit better close to winning football, and that particular play needs to start up front with the D-line.
They're all doing some things really well, and they're all doing, you know, other things not so well. So, you know, I do like the group. It's a really good group, and right now our strength's in numbers, you know. But nobody's just taken it and said, "Hey, I'm the guy," you know. And so that's just, but they're young. That's just where we are. Got a lot to do, and some of it may go to games. You know, I mean, I would say right now all five of those guys will play. There's no doubt all five are going to play on game day, and it may take the games before we really kind of see some separation. But, you know, just too many mistakes. We're just not complete. You know, some guy, okay, this guy's pass rushing good, but he's not playing good on first down. You know, we need complete players, and so we're not a complete package there right now. Again, like the guys, like what we got, but we got to get better. And same thing inside. Same thing. We're not anywhere near where we need to be to be a championship caliber team up front right now.
As Dabo Swinney talking about his defensive line, the one thing he has talked about, though, from the positive standpoint, is his secondary. He believes that his secondary right now is among the best that he has had in his time at Clemson, and he believes that the four guys that he has at safety between Kayvon Wallace, Tanner Muse, Nolan Turner, and Denzel Johnson are all guys he can trust in game situations. I had a chance after Saturday's scrimmage to talk with Nolan Turner about how important it is to have that depth in the back four.
It's great to have that depth, you know, to have guys you can trust back there that have been there and that can lead the young guys into, you know, learning what to do and, you know, kind of carrying them along with us. And we got a big class that just came in as freshmen, a lot of early enrollees, guys that went through the spring. And, you know, they're doing a great job picking up on all the install. And it's tough. You know, we come out here, we have a great offense. It's hard to prepare for these guys. And, you know, on top of all the stuff we're throwing at them on defense. And so, you know, they're really coming along. And it's good to, you know, have those leaders to bring them along with us.
What did your increase in playing time as the season went on, especially come the playoff last year, how did that increase your mental aptitude and what you came to realize when you were on the field?
I mean, you know, the more you play, the more confidence you build. And, you know, just the better you get at something. You know, the more reps you do of something, the better you get at it. Just the more practice, the preparation, everything. And you know, just being out there more, it's, you know, it's just you're really reaping the reward that you're getting for all the hard work. So, you know, we come out here and we practice, and iron sharpens iron. And, we, you know, we got one of the best offenses, I mean, the best offense in the country. And going against those guys every day makes game day easy.
How hard is it to pace yourself through the arduous camp that you guys go through?
Yeah, camp's tough, but, you know, you just got to go day by day, hour by hour, practice by practice. And, you know, you can't think ahead. You just got to think. You got to be great where your feet are. And so, you know, that's kind of the mentality we have and or that I have when I'm out here at practice. And, you know, really just got to focus on, you know, where you are at this time. And, you know, you can't look ahead to game day because game day is coming in 3 weeks. It'll be here before we know it. But, you know, we just got to go day by day through camp.
How does this team avoid complacency?
You know, everybody wants to be great, and you can't sit there and, you know, just think back on the mountaintops that we've been on, the championship games we've played in. You know, we restart every year. We get back to camp. We have a new team. This team hasn't done anything. We haven't won any games. We haven't made any plays. And we're 0-0. So, you know, that's kind of our mindset going into this season, going into camp. You know, we got to come out and prove ourselves because we haven't done anything.
How does reaching that mountaintop, knowing what it takes to get there, how does reaching that zenith of college football help you realize what you need to get in order to make sure that you can attain it again?
You know, it's great just, you know, getting that reward for all the hard work you put in throughout the season, just all the time that we put in, all the practice, and, I think a lot of guys that we have on this team that have come back, you know, I think we got, you know, 40 juniors and seniors on this team that have been there, that have been playing in those big games, that have, you know, been to the playoffs four times, you know. So I think we got a lot of leaders that, you know, can bring these younger guys along with us.
I say you're kind of outnumbered now amongst the because the upperclassmen are kind of outnumbered by the underclassmen. How weird is that?
Yeah, it's different. It's a different, you know, it's just a different team than last year. You know, we had a lot of older guys last year, a lot of vets, a lot of great leadership, and but we, you know, we got a lot of it back too. But the young guys bring a lot of great energy. You know, a lot of competitiveness. They want to compete. So, you know, what they want to get out there and prove themselves and prove why they came to Clemson and why they can play.
That is Nolan Turner, one of the four safeties who Dabo Swinney says is among those who could be the best on the field for them and be a big part of their team moving forward. Of course, along with Kayvon Wallace, Tanner Muse, and Denzel Johnson. Johnson has bumped out and played a little outside given what he has had to deal with over the course of time because of Darion Kendrick being on the shelf because of a hamstring injury. They do believe that Kendrick should be back by the end of the week, but again, a lot of that depends on how the on how that hamstring responds. They're saying maybe even closer to next week possibly, and they've also been without Jake Venables and Baylen Specter, who have also had hamstring injuries. Jalen Lay was back at practice today after missing Saturday's scrimmage. He went through the situational scrimmage and, again, has been a big part of the tight end room along with J.C. Chalk. They also are still waiting on the tight end Davis Allen to be cleared. And, of course, somebody that they believe that can make an impact this year at that position that once had Braden Galloway in the fold but now does not have him in the fold because of the fact that he is suspended because of the situation that happened with Osterine last year during the college football playoff. 844-GSP-ESPN. Also, 71307 on the text line. That is also how you get in touch with us via the text. And also at ESPN Upstate on Twitter, at Willie P Style on Twitter, and at Diesel on Radio. Somebody responding to your tweet, Deez, about college football should be terrified of the XFL. If players have an American-based alternative, skip college, make money, and move on to the NFL, college football, as we know it, is in trouble. Somebody comes back with the Mike Tyson clapping emoji. I ask you to respond, sir.
Yeah, I mean, tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me why a player would choose to go to college anyway, just for the experience. These guys, I've already said, they don't care about the experience. They want the avenue into the NFL.
It's all this is for a lot of these players. And again, I know that we're looking at it from a top-down perspective. Is somebody who is a third-string lineman in Appalachian State going to have the same value on their name and likeness as somebody who is a starter at Clemson? Absolutely not. But that's also the way that life works, and life is as a balance is not necessarily a fair thing. And because of that, I believe that there's at least a need for this to take a more capitalistic sense. I hate to sound political when I say that, but I believe that it is absurd how the money is disproportionately reserved for those who manage college football as opposed to those who actually play college football.
Is it more or less attractive if you put a fund together for a player, don't pay him while he's on campus, but throw a bonus at him after he leaves?
I honestly wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind the ability to at least have something be put into a trust. That's the Frank Martin model, if you will. Frank Martin has said he wants players to have money to be able to put off their name and likeness, but he wants it put into a trust, maybe have some of it taken out for a philanthropic cause, and then reserved for that student to basically take out of a trust account that they get when they get their diploma. And that's the other part of it, too, that I think you can maybe incentivize is say, hey, if you can maybe make money off your name and likeness but not get it until you actually get a diploma, then maybe that also gives you an opportunity to have players stay longer instead of actually going and getting the immediate money when it comes to the league. So, again, that incentivizes people the other way. We were talking also yesterday about the thing we were talking about with regards to FBS versus FCS happening as part of the spring or during fall camp as scrimmages instead of actually on the field as games. Tony, who tweets us at ESPN Upstate, says, I like this. They could also take the opportunity to give the backups meaningful experience without risking their records. So I think that, again, stands the reason to your point, again, that this is something that probably has a better staying power and a better benefit for coaches as opposed to playing that game, which I believe we always know now is kind of farcical.
The biggest downside is it doesn't give the FCS teams the option to knock off the big schools. But it so rarely happens.
Right.
That
for every Appalachian State, you get 159 nothings.
By the way, I did look it up, and I didn't look up South Carolina scores, but in Clemson's case, their average score against in-state FCS opponents over the last 5 years has been 56-6. Tell me what that does for either one of those schools. It does absolutely nothing for them.
Well, Clemson fans would tell you it denies Citadel a chance to upset South Carolina, but that is, again, what they would tell you from that perspective. 844-GSP ESPN. Again, we are on location at Frankie's New York Pizza, 101 V the Parkway in Greenville, 288-4200. Two pizzas, 16 inches. Two 16-inch cheese pizzas for $20. You can't beat that. You can't beat that with a stick. And not only can you not beat it, you also can't beat the taste of this pizza. Because I'm telling you, I'm a hard marker when it comes to the za. And I'm big when it comes to wanting more of this before we get out of here. And also before we get out of here, we're going to talk some Gamecock football with Colin Taylor, Gamecock Central on a CNC Tuesday. Willie P. and Diesel hanging out at Frankie's. This is Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From Frankie's New York Pizza in Greenville, it is Straight Up with Sturge, ESPN Upstate. Willie P. and Diesel hanging out with you as we continue. Let's head back to the guest line, and we are joined by my good friend Colin Taylor of Gamecock Central. It is a CNC Tuesday, after all, so we get our chance to take the pulse of the Gamecocks through 10 practices, Colin. And, you know, the scrimmage yesterday, I found it surprising from Will Muschamp's perspective. He said that he was more encouraged by the run than the pass. How surprising was that from your perspective with his revelation yesterday?
It was a little surprising given the talent they have on the passing side of the ball and obviously the talent they have right now on the running side with Tavian Feasham not able to compete in contact drills right now. So you would figure that the offense would be a little bit behind, but to hear that the running game was better than the passing game right now, a little, I don't want to say worrisome, but eyebrow raising right now as we get into third week of camp.
You know, I wonder if there hasn't been a little bit of a fire lit underneath the behind of a guy like Rico Daddle, because I know that he's the kind of guy who has antenna type ears. He knows exactly what's being said about him by people like us and you and obviously others who write about and talk about the Gamecocks. I know he hasn't reached his full potential as a South Carolina football player. Do you think that his potential could be high-end running back by the time this season's over?
I think so. That's the thing with Rico Daddle, is you really haven't seen that consistently. I mean, he's shown flashes of being that kind of guy at times. I mean, you look back to the Vanderbilt game last year as one of those times. But it's never been back-to-back games. It's never been over a two- or three-game stretch. You need to see more of that from him. If he could put together what he did at Vanderbilt last year for 7-8 games over the course of a 12-game year, that can be what the Gamecocks need to take the next step offensively. So I haven't seen that yet from him, but I think the potential's there if he can stay focused and, more importantly, stay healthy.
You know, Colin, people talk about this offensive line as being the best that Will Muschamp has had. A lot of the credit goes to Eric Wolford there. Others have said it's the best South Carolina has ever had. Cut through the crap for me. Where do they sit in your eyes?
I think this is easily the best one Will Muschamp's had in his time at South Carolina. The best offensive line overall, I'm not entirely sure. They had a few good ones on that from 2010 to 2013, so time will tell with this one whether or not they can be the best that's ever been at South Carolina, but they're going to need to improve on run blocking, and they're going to kind of need to find still some key pieces. I mean, the center spot is arguably the most important spot on the offensive line outside of the left tackle, so getting that figured out and then getting right guard figured out are pretty important pieces for them. And then developing some depth behind Darius Hutchison at left tackle, because if he goes down, you're putting probably a freshman, or you're moving Dylan Wanham over there, so who's only started 7 games over his career. So depth will need to be cultivated, the talent's there, but they're going to need to find some guys behind their starting five that can really give them some solid depth entering the season.
I know that they've said, and again, we're back to talking about the passing game, Colin Taylor, Gamecock Central here from South Carolina's perspective, one scrimmage in the books. They'll have one more over the weekend with practices on Wednesday and Thursday, of course. The fact that it was Edwards, Shai Smith, and Ortre Smith as the top three receivers, you know, I almost expected more of a graduation of sorts from Josh Van, but they even say that Xavier Leggett is also getting kind of more of the run. Is that just those guys outperforming a guy like Van, or have Ortre and Xavier just been that much stronger from what you can gather?
From everything that's been said, we haven't heard a lot of Josh Van, haven't really asked a lot about him, but from everything the coaches have said, he's had, when they have mentioned him, he's had a good offseason, he's had a pretty solid camp, but Xavier Leggett, the guy that's just kind of burst onto the scene and is turning a lot of heads in terms of just being really fast, really aggressive when it comes to running routes, so, and he's taking punts back. So I think it's more of Xavier Leggett doing the things he's doing rather than outperforming Josh Van. And Ortre, a lot of eyes get put on him just because he is a guy coming off injury, a guy that did have a good freshman year. So time will tell. I think that's probably the next three after I think Ortre will probably work itself into the starting lineup, and then you'll see a guy like Josh Van, a guy like Xavier Leggett, a guy like Travis Dawkins probably in that next rotation after that.
You know, Colin, I think a lot of emphasis has been put by Gamecock fans on the backup quarterback position, basically because a lot of South Carolina fans are not going to get their way in having Jake Bentley unseated. However, I still think that regardless of whatever happens this year or next, Will Muschamp is in a difficult position with respect to the in-state high school coaches to at least give DeCarion Joyner every opportunity to lose the job whenever it becomes his, because if he doesn't get it by virtue of the fact that Helinski outperforms him, and it just seems to me that I believe that you're going to have to obviously massage the relationship with the in-state coaches, because this is a former Mr. Football in the state of South Carolina, and that carries a lot of weight with the coaches inside the high school league and those who obviously want to have a vested interest in sending their players to the University of South Carolina.
Right, and I think that the coaching staff knows that, and which is why I think, even though they're kind of saying mum about it right now and not really kind of putting too much out there about it, I think you will see some sort of DeCarion Joyner package this year, whether that you split him out wide, whether that you put him in the backfield with Jake Bentley or have him come in at quarterback at times. I think you're going to see something, because he's too good of an athlete, he's too explosive, he's too good of a playmaker, I think, at this level to not see some sort of playing time, whether he's the backup quarterback number two or number three. I still think he'll get his fair share of runs, kind of take that relationship and get one of your best playmakers on the field once the season starts.
You know, it's funny. I talked about this from the Clemson perspective with Darion Kendrick. I'm wondering the kind of tug of war that John Scott Jr. had to win with Mike Peterson and the outside ends and that coach when it comes to having to fight over Zach Pickens, because he's a guy who I thought was ticketed for a role similar to what DJ Wanham has, but they happen to like him inside and they think he can contribute right away. How surprised are you of that revelation?
Oh, I'm not surprised really at all by it. He's beefy. He came in beefy. He got even beefier as he stayed in town over the summer. So he's pushing 300 pounds. He plays with his hand in the dirt, did that at Keel Hanna. He's going to do that here. And he's looked the part so far of what we've been able to see, and coaches rave about what he's able to do. So far, I think John Scott said he had the body of a junior coming in as a freshman. So he's already physically a specimen that can come in and make an impact right away.
Linebacker-wise, you know, I don't know how you felt about the season T.J. Brunson had a year ago, but I think he disappeared in some spots, and I also think that that unit as a whole did not have the kind of strength that they had a year ago. Of course, not having Sky Moore certainly takes the unit down a peg, but how do you see this unit rebounding, and what needs to happen for this unit to rebound in 19?
I think they have to develop some depth. I think, I mean, Holden Hunt just said T.J. Brunson can't play 900 snaps over the course of the season. So you're going to have to develop depth. You're going to have to make sure everyone stays fresh, and you're going to have to be more consistent. I think at times they struggled tackling in the open field, getting to where they needed to be in space, and that really hurt them, and it caused a lot of big plays. So right now it's looking a lot like T.J. is going to slide over to the Will spot, where there's not as much put on you in terms of calling the defense, and then Ernest Jones, who's one of the smarter guys on the team, has really handled the defense well in camp, is going to move to that Mike spot and kind of try and settle things down there, kind of get the defense aligned to a point where they feel like they can make plays in the box and then in space on the boundary.
We've heard a lot about Jamie Robinson as somebody who can contribute, whether it's at the nickel or even the safety or corner positions, because it seems like Horn and Mukwamu are your entrenched outside corner guys, and they're still trying to figure out the combinations in terms of the interior parts of the secondary. What has been the eye-opening trait with regards to Jamie?
Oh, he's thick, and he is thick with two C's at this point. I mean, he is strong, physical. They like what he can do, and he's a guy that can not only cover, but at that nickel spot, they ask you to come in and play the run a little bit and blitz sometimes too. So he can do that as well, which makes him a pretty versatile player. And he's playing safety too, so he's obviously smart and can obviously handle a lot of different things on his plate.
What has happened to Jamias Williams? He disappeared faster than Frank Martin's eyebrows.
He hasn't disappeared. He'll probably be a starting safety, but I just think because of the injuries, he's kind of got lost in the shuffle because – and they are bringing in a lot of talented guys. I mean, you know, 3-4-star defensive backs, the 3-star defensive backs that also happens to be Deion Sanders' kid. So he's just kind of gotten lost in the shuffle of these big names coming in. But I would expect him to be a starter if healthy, which he struggled with at times. He's healthy right now. When healthy, to be a starting safety for this team next year.
It might come back to the running game, but is there a phase of this football team that you feel is ahead of schedule based on what you can decipher from not only the coaches but your internal discussions about this football team as we sit now less than 2.5 weeks away from the start of the season?
I honestly think the secondary, we talked about it a little bit just now, but the secondary is a little bit better off right now because there's not as much competition and ifs back there. You know J.C. Horn's going to start. You know Israel's going to start. Jamie Robinson, it looks like he's going to be a starter, along with Jam and potentially either JT Ebay or Andre Roderick. So you have a cool group of about six guys vying for five spots. So that's good. They can develop communication. Well, Muschamp said that yesterday. They're much further along in that regard and learning the scheme and communicating better with each other than they were last year or the year before that. So that's probably the biggest improvement I've seen. And J.C. Horn and Israel have been really good about getting with the younger guys and kind of helping them along, which is obviously welcome news for South Carolina.
And last one for Colin Taylor of Gamecock Central. What's the biggest question that you need answered based outside of the obvious when it comes to health, but what's the biggest question, at least the broad picture question, that you need answered by the time this team takes the field in Charlotte on August the 31st?
It's Nick Muse. Will Nick Muse be eligible to play? Because if not, then it becomes a very thin tight end group with only four guys that have seen playing time. So you need to get him healthy, and you are not healthy, but eligible.
Eligible, yeah.
If he can be, then he's a huge boost, and he could potentially start for this team next year, or this season.
That is Colin Taylor of Gamecock Central, of course, joining us to talk about everything involving South Carolina, involving their practice. Again, about 2.5 weeks away when these games start actually counting for real. Colin, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me.
That is Colin Taylor, Gamecock Central, joining us here on ESPN Upstate here. We're coming to you again on location from Frankie's New York Pizza, 864-288-4200, 101B the Parkway in Greenville, as we roll on here on a Tuesday. We'll come back, talk a little bit about what Colin had to say, and also there is a college football quarterback who played the Florida versus Ohio game the wrong way, why he won't be a starter, and why what another potential transfer quarterback might not be either. Coming your way as we come back here on ESPN Upstate, Straight Up with Sturge from Frankie's New York Pizza in Greenville.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We are back live on ESPN Upstate, Frankie's New York Pizza, not only live but also on social media at ESPN Upstate on Twitter and Facebook as we continue on a Tuesday. Willie P and Diesel in on Straight Up with Sturge as we welcome you in on a Tuesday. Frankie's New York Pizza in Greenville, 864-288-4200. Two 16-inch cheese pizzas for $20. That deal goes until 9 p.m. tonight. And is every Tuesday through Thursday. Very, very good pizza.
You can also get a 16-inch pie and an order of wings. And there's a couple guys over our shoulder just munching down on huge trays of wings.
They are going to town,
and
man.
And they smell so good.
They're going to town. Are we having orderer's envy? Is that what it is?
A little bit.
You're going back and forth with this dude on the XFL, man.
Like, yeah, we are. Well, you know, he responded to our tweet earlier with an emoji. And if that's all you got, man, you got to come a little harder than
right.
that. You know, it's... the idea was the original tweet was college football should be terrified of the XFL. If players have an American-based alternative to skip college, make money, and still move to the NFL, college football as we know it is in trouble. But what we're talking about is eroding away the talent base because some of these guys don't want to go to college. The
right.
top talent, all they want is to get into the NFL. And if there's a way for them to make money and still get into the NFL instead of going to college, which a lot of them don't want to do, then they're going to take it.
I like that you and I don't think the same way.
Okay.
I like that you and I don't think the same way. We probably are saying a lot of the same things, but just in a different way. I think it's possible for everybody to have their cake and eat it too from that perspective, because I do believe that there is a market for those players. I do think there also should be a market for college players to be able to play in that sport, get a degree, and also make money off the name and likeness. I don't understand why it can't be an exclusive thing. Why that? Where I keep the
well,
thing I
the
keep
way,
saying is, where's the harm? I don't see the harm.
That's the way college football will stave this off.
Yes.
By giving these guys a way to make money in college.
Now, the one thing I will say, and this will play into our next story, is that there is the transfer portal. The transfer portal, I think, part and parcel, is a good thing for college football because of the fact that it gives players more freedom and more of an opportunity to make better choices with regards to their college choice. I don't like how college coaches could block where you wanted to go if you were on the transfer. Well, Tate Martell played the Florida or Ohio game when it came to college football because he, of course, went to Ohio State, transferring away, basically transferring from there to Ohio State. Of course, during this offseason, went from Ohio State to Miami because after he was at Ohio State, Justin Fields came his way, the former Georgia quarterback, so he didn't think he'd have a chance to possibly compete for the starting job there, so he went to Miami. Well, come to find out that the starting quarterback to begin the season for Miami when they open up against Florida is none other than Jaren Williams. According to a Miami source telling the South Florida Sun Sentinel, in a message in response to how Martell took the news, he's good, except for the fact that he wasn't at practice, the first practice after Williams was named the starter. So there's obviously a rumor now that Martell is going to turn this possibly back into another invasion into the transfer portal. This is unfortunately there are people who abuse rules. And there's always going to be the abuse of rules. He didn't participate in practice on Monday, did rejoin the team since that point. And Kosi Perry, who also lost out the bid to start, also remains with the team. Manny Diaz said he had a conversation with Martel under the impression that Martel plans to stay with the program after losing out to the position. But still, at that regard, I almost wonder what kind of credibility Martel has at this point. And not only that, but I also think that also from the standpoint of where he sits, there's more from that perspective that is obviously looking at whether or not he turns into a football player elsewhere. And just to make this even worse, there's a competition at quarterback right now at Ohio State involving Justin Fields and former Kentucky backup Gunnar Hoke, who made his way to Ohio State thanks to the, you guessed it, transfer portal. Well, of course, Justin Fields involving that particular situation there, according to reports, hasn't necessarily had a head and shoulders separation between him and Hoke, and that competition, according to Ohio State head coach Ryan Day, still undergoing. So the thing I find funny, Diesel, is that these quarterbacks who use the transfer portal to try and increase their value and increase their ability to play haven't exactly played their hand right.
Well, that's the risk you take, because there's no guarantees that wherever you go, you will be the starter. A lot of these, I mean, these guys have players who are entrenched within the program, who know the system, and they obviously may not have the talent leg up, but they have the understanding of the offense. And give me a guy who knows and understands my system and will play his heart out for me versus a guy who just came here because he wants to play any day.
Although, again, think about Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma. Think about Kelly Bryant at Missouri. They both went to places that had relatively no competition at the quarterback position.
Sure.
You didn't know who Oklahoma's starting quarterback was going to be during this season. I went to Missouri, and I couldn't tell you who was the quarterback with regards to whether it was not Kelly Bryant. So they basically used that type of leverage toward Kelly to basically say, look, we have no idea who our quarterback is right now. Please come here and play for us. And lo and behold, that's why he got the gig. And I think there are going to be more of these situations coming across the college football landscape, and I don't know if it's necessarily a good thing for the game, but I know one thing. It's better than the old system, because I like the fact that maybe you can have these rivalries stoked up a little bit. You know, I know that Marky Mark says rivalries are no longer sacred. Listen, I love the ability of having a guy go in possibly taking up a chance to play his former team. There was Nick Harvey, who transferred as a grad transfer from Texas A&M to South Carolina, and they, of course, play each other as the permanent cross-division rivals from the SEC East to the SEC West. Harvey never got a chance to take the field, but how juicy of a storyline would that be? I mean, we see that in the pros all the time, where a player plays his former team, and that obviously gets a lot of attention. I wonder how a collegiate would handle that atmosphere and handle that microscope, but I think it's character building in my mind. And you know, if you felt like you were made a promise that was not kept, whether it was the respect of playing time or the ability to develop at a certain position or do something there that you weren't able to do or forced to change a position, then why not try the opportunity to, you know, not screw the other coach, but, I mean, just to get even. It's all about, we always used to say, you know, don't get mad, get even. Well, I don't mind players feeling like they need to get even, because that's the only way they know how to at this point.
Well, if you don't want to compete, drop down to an FCS school where you don't really have to, where it's pretty much guaranteed that you're going to be the starting quarterback.
Who knows? I mean,
that's an option.
Well, that's the option that they used to use, whether it was FCS or the JUCO route. A lot of times they would go down just so they wouldn't lose a year of competition, and as a result, see, that's the other thing I don't like too, is I don't like these waivers. If you're going to have this rule where at the transfer portal you can't be giving out all these waivers. I think all these waivers are a little bit out of control for me. That's the part of it that I don't like. I still think that there needs to be a penalty for college football transfers. I don't think that these waivers are part of the spirit of where they want the rule to go from that perspective. 844-GSP-ESPN. We've had a lot of fun today so far out at Frankie's New York Pizza. Again, we come to you from 101B The Parkway in Greenville, 864-288-4200. Again, that pizza deal, that two pizzas, two 16-inch pizzas, two 16-inch cheese pizzas for $20, still going on till 9 o'clock tonight. We'll give you at least a little bit more of what we're looking at for tomorrow, and also tell you what was left on the cutting room floor when we come back on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
On ESPN Upstate as we continue on a Tuesday. We're talking to Ryan, who came in here, was listening on ESPN Upstate on 97.7 and 97.1 in Mooresville. He was driving in. He said he heard us talking about pizza. He got really hungry, and now he's here to get some za on Tuesday night here at Frankie's New York Pizza. We thank the folks here at Frankie's, Chris and the guys. They do a fantastic job. Again, 288-4200. They have really taking care of us here today. Did you see this tweet from the South Carolina Athletic Department?
I have not.
They put out one of the patented videos from Justin King that has put forth and confirmed a rumor that has been shaking over the course of the last couple of months with regards to Gamecock apparel.
Mm-hmm.
And they have confirmed that they this year are going to go back to the Black Magic style of throwback uniform for their black uniform at South Carolina on the football field. It is again, looks more like the Joe Morrison era uniform here, as I'm showing you on Twitter right now. I quote tweeted it from my Twitter at Willie P Style.
I'm a fan.
And they're going to play it with the garnet helmet, too, with the white background of the Block C. That, again, looks like the, again, mid-'80s Black Magic era Joe Morrison-type type uniform ensemble. I think that is hot. That is a hot, hot look.
I'm a fan of good-looking uniforms, and that is a good-looking uniform.
And
wow.
There is a report, again, from Visor Carolina that says Coach Muschamp said that these are the permanent black alternate jerseys moving forward. The Magic is not only back, but the Magic is black. Could you imagine South Carolina rolling up in those when Bama comes to town?
Might not help them, but they'll still look good.
Well, it's funny how, you know, we talked about this when they made the announcement for the game against Florida, where they're going to have the Marcus Lattimore game, the Marcus Lattimore induction to the Hall of Fame, and how that might be able to put them over the edge. And again, I don't know if anybody really believes in the power of apparel, but the power of positive thinking could allow you to at least put yourself up over the edge from that perspective. And, you know, the uniforms that they wore against Bama a couple of years ago, 2010, when they beat him at Williams-Brice, they went the full garnet with the white helmet. Maybe they'll go Black Magic with the garnet helmet that way. Who knows? I'm not saying it's bad. I'm thinking maybe, you know, maybe that could be a little bit of mojo building there. Say they win with those uniforms. Would you want to see South Carolina in any other uniform this year at home? I wouldn't.
No, give it to me all year long.
Exactly. Now, of course, the flip side of that is if they get housed, no one will ever want to see them ever again. So that is the way that rolls. Tomorrow on the program, Ryan Leaf. If you know anything about the former number 2 overall pick in the NFL draft, you know that he had a very interesting and unfortunate fall from grace as somebody who had the highest of highs in the NFL and then the lowest of lows after his career fizzled out. But he has an amazing redemption story. He is not only a personal friend, but somebody who is a former colleague of mine. We used to host a show together, and he has rebuilt his life after time in prison with substance abuse and turned his life around in a very positive way. He is now working for ESPN. He's going to call games for them in the fall. He was at Clemson to talk not only to the team. He does inspirational messages all across the country. He was on the South Carolina campus earlier this year as well to talk to the sororities and fraternities group there and talk to the Clemson football team with his inspiring message. He will join us tomorrow on the program at 4:20 because he also got to see a little bit of Clemson scrimmage that we were not able to see on Saturday, and I'll ask him kind of his impressions of Clemson and also South Carolina because he's also very, very close with the Ryan Helinski family from his time, of course, at Washington State with his brother. And Jim Zocchi, who joined us last week from the Panther Radio Network, will get his thoughts on how the joint practices have been going with the Panthers and the Bilthers, as I like to call them, because the Bills are basically almost the Panthers of the North. Thank you, Diesel. Appreciate you, as always. Had fun with it.
Love being here.
We will be back in studio tomorrow, 4 until 6:30, as we'll be taking you all the way up until baseball tomorrow night. Thanks to Patrick Brown of the studio producing. Thanks to Chris and the boys here at Frankie's New York Pizza, 101B The Parkway in Greenville. And for the still recovering Mark Sturgis, I'm Will Polonchik saying thanks for listening to Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate. And so long, South Carolina.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.